The concept of religion not infiltrating every part of their lives, and of secularity and modernity not being part of all of their religious experience, right? But the concept is synchronized. So all of this is always religious, always religious, at the time, but it's infiltrated. You see, Athens, the primary target of worship for the Athenian religion is Dionysus, the god of the theater, and also wine, and lots of other things. We'll see those as we go along in the panel. And Dionysus, with a very particular hat on, Dionysus, whose name is, ancient gods generally have epithets attached to them. Epithets are just sort of nicknames that tell you this is this god in this particular incarnation or with this particular set of concerns. The target of worship in Athens for theatrical performances is Dionysus Eleftheros, Dionysus the Liberator, the person who frees you from things. That's going to be really significant as we go. Representations of the theater in the ancient world are always full of examples of Dionysus, and here is a really important vase called Chronomachos. And we see here Dionysus is hanging out up here, and he's surrounded by a bunch of people with animal outfits. Okay? This is an acting tree. Dionysus is surrounded by a bunch of actors. Here is the flautist, or the alos player. All ancient music is also all ancient theater is musical theater. Here is the guy who wrote the play that they're about to perform. We know that because they're named. Thankfully, sometimes Greek vase painters label everything very carefully for us. Sometimes they don't, but in this case, we do have and you can see here, right, there's all about these really skirts. This guy's got a big old fursuit on. Greek and Roman theater is also a liminal ritual. That is, engaging in a theatrical experience always takes you to an other place, a place that is different from your everyday life, and a place where behavioral and social norms and distinctions are suspended or inverted. So, instead of thinking of ourselves as civilized people, when we enter a theatrical context, we embrace wilderness. Gender gives a lot of play, right? We think of, you know, Greeks and Romans are fundamentally misogynist people, they're societies, but there's a lot of interesting exploration of non-masculine experiences. All of these things are going to be important. In order to create a new experience without boundaries, all the traditional boundaries that would separate people in the theater from each other outside of the theater, those are suspended for the extent of the theater. One thing that I want to keep in mind as we go along is what parallels we might see between ancient practice and modern concept. And in some ways, Furikons are also liminal spaces. These are other spaces where rules and norms get suspended and we get to experience and see something that we don't get to do outside of that space. Right? So liminality, this transition space to other space, it's something that we certainly practice. And it's something that Greeks and Romans practice with the spaces where they put their theatrical performances. In Athens, that space is the sanctuary of Dionysus, which is all of this space down here, and the theater of Dionysus. This is a space that is, like I said, there's no distinction between ritual and secular, between religious practice and entertainment. So this is both a theater, but it's also a temple. So when you go to the theater, you are inside the temple space of Dionysus. And there are various temples. These are the foundations of temples that are all associated with Dionysus that are within view or within your easy experience. And we're going to see that, like I said, we're going to kind of invert some expectations. We're going to prioritize things that we don't think of as sort of normal values. Here's a great gem of spaghetti of a god contemplating a theatrical house. And this guy, well, he's not just any guy, this is a pen. Right? This is a billion dollars. So the idea that a wild country rustic thing would also be engaging in the activities for what we think as a civilized activity, right? It's not that this is a civilized activity that the wilderness is coming to, it's that this is a wild activity that we're bringing civilized culture. Last big thing that I want you to keep in mind as well is regional theater is cathartic, and it is designed to purge negative emotions. It's apathetic. It is designed to turn away evil from the community. And it is enthusiastic. Enthusiasmos is a practice of religious term that means allowing the God to come inside you. So when you say that you're enthusiastic about it, you send that to a human, what they get here is God can go, or God can go rescue you in your experience. So the same thing is coming true here. When we talk about the experience of theater, when we talk about the others of theater, those people perceive themselves as being occupied by something beyond themselves, occupied by some kind of sacred being. Yay, Wi-Fi. I should have been okay. In Greek theatrical practice, there would always be a procession, a parade of people going into the theatrical space to initiate the entertainment experience. And that parade is called a pompey or a pompa in one context. And that parade is often full of what we would think of as kind of gaudy and naughty imagery. So here is a representation of a sort of Dionysiac pompa, a Dionysiac parade, that has a satyr figure. The satyrs are part human, part horse creatures, and they are often the assistants of Dionysus. We're going to look at them in one more detail in a second. So we've got a dude with a horn riding a satyr. This is probably not a real satyr, but rather a statue, representation of a satyr in this group. And he is riding on a big phallic thing, right? Giant creature. Theatrical parades would be full of people holding giant inflated penises, just big leather sacks that are filled up with air. And the function of those objects is they are the apathetic objects. They pull off evil because Greeks and Romans perceived phalluses as being full of special power. Special power that drives away bad stuff, that penetrates bad stuff that they want to get rid of. Well, we'll talk more about that in terms of. So let's talk. So those are basic concepts that I want you to have in mind. Here's some useful features. So Greek tragedy, the word tragedy, has itself analytical picture. Greek authors tell us that tragedy, tragoidia, comes from tragos, goat, and goidos, song. So tragedies are goat songs. Before you ask, we have no idea. Why this is true. Why they think this. And they also didn't understand either. The origin of this term is so lost in the cultural practice of history that they just take guesses why we still do goat stuff. Maybe we do goat stuff because sometimes we sacrifice goats as part of the
goat.
We're going to leave it open for safety.
Okay.